It doesn't matter if you're NASA, a Formula One team, or maybe you just want to race mountain bikes. Every team has a beginning. We often get asked questions about how to get sponsored, or what are the realities of life on the road. Well, we have Harry Malloy here from InSync Racing, and he is the perfect man, having recently started his own mountain biking team. So if we go back like 15 years, you're kind of a teenage up and coming downhill racer. And you're kind of looking at maybe, you know, doing some longer, bigger races and, you know, pocket money only goes so far.
Sure.
And you're looking at getting sponsored. What would your advice to yourself be?
At this modern day, it's crazy with like Instagram, social media as a whole is so important. Like, as we said, to brands. But I think you could just, at that age, you've really, I coach a lot of kids
age. Yeah, yeah.
And at that age, it's all about enjoying it. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes it's, you know, brands are pretty, can be pretty cutthroat, even at that level. And I think you've got to form a relationship with them, and it's over time. And when you're getting into it, sort of before you're 16, it's a real hard place to be. And at the end of the day, we're all fortunate kids to have a bike at that age,
yeah,
and cracking
true.
On
yeah,
with it.
Totally.
So I think having fun and just enjoying yourself at that age will either see you get better to the point where you're racing and enjoying it and doing well, or it won't. And that's reality. Like, not everyone can be here hucking off big gaps.
yeah. Like, I don't know if everyone would want to. I certainly wouldn't want to be in your shoes.
Well, yeah, that's it.
But do you think there's a case of, I mean, like you said, brands can be certain, well, very analytical to say the least.
Yeah.
And it's input, output. And they're not just going to say, oh, here, have this brand new bike and all this kit. Yeah, see you later. Yeah, hit me back in a year. They're going to want assurances of at least things you're signed up to do or what you intend to do.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that in terms of winning, but I think it's always good to say, I will be at these events.
Yeah.
I will complete this race series.
To have a good plan and present yourself well and show that you're like an outgoing guy and all the things that you would just want to, like, if you were, realistically, if you just want to be friends with someone, you go and have a chat to them about it.
Yeah,
and,
true. Yeah.
You know, a phone call to a brand is always also better than just sending someone an email, a marketing guy, your email, because they're going to get loads of those, and to really filter through those is unfair for them to even, you know, have to judge whether you're a nice guy or not, whether they want to work with you, because there's loads of people out there. And again, like we said, a brand is just, at the end of it all, it's just one person, and he also wants to see something out of it, not just, can I be sponsored, mate?
Yeah, you know, totally. Like, yeah.
Yeah, so it's just an understanding, and it's just getting on with them, really.
Yeah, totally. You recently started InSync, kind of in 3 years on the road now?
So, I've been a manager for probably, I think it's the sixth year.
Of course, it was Solid before.
Solid before that, mm-hmm. Solid Reverse. And then gone through to what is now InSync. InSync's started this year, mm-hmm. With myself. So yeah, it's been the opening year of quite a different approach.
And having been on some really big factory teams, you know, Madison, to running your own factory team, managing a factory team, to starting up, what were there any kind of sort of, you know, ideological aims on that? Or was it just a case of making something and having full ownership? And do you think that, you know, prior to starting it, is it kind of what you had in mind, what you have now?
Yeah, it's a real, real hard one, really, because I didn't necessarily go out to manage a team or own a team or any of that. It kind of just fell into place.
Mm.
Like, it sounds a bit cliche, but it really did just fall into place with, you know, riding with friends, and then got to the point where, you know, we're a global group of friends.
Yes, totally.
That all fit together well. And I think it's just a really organic team.
Yeah.
We just all got on well together, and I was the guy to sort of maybe acknowledge that and see it through. And, you know, I've my organisational skills, I think, are all right. Maybe the guys would differ with that, but I think...
What, in whose favour?
Yeah, exactly. No, I don't know. It did all just fall together well, and it turns out after a few years of doing it, I think if you concentrate on anything over a few years, it generally works out if you want it enough.
Yeah, totally.
It's all going well. And, I, stoked with it.
And how do you approach a season? I think a lot of people ask about, you know, our viewers, we often get in the comments, how to get sponsored? And it's not a case of the night before. It's not, you know, like the dog at my homework, like, oh, I need a bike. No, I imagine, exactly. When does your season, in terms of infrastructure, like getting kind of, you know, sponsorship, all that stuff, say for next season, I imagine you've already been kind of in a long discussion with brands.
Yeah, for sure. So the main, like our title, InSync Bikes, I've been talking to them. It kind of doesn't stop, especially as I'm sure we'll talk about this, but they're such a new brand to this, and they want to get everything pretty bang on from the start, that all these discussions are constantly, we're constantly improving stuff and talking about the future. So that side of things really good. And with current sponsors at the moment, and that we've brought through from this year, it's great. We've kind of been able to grow from the start with them. And again, you have to have these talks through the
yes,
season.
Totally.
You meet up with everyone at the first race, and a lot of these brands will be at the World Cups at Maribor, and it really starts from there. And yeah, I guess September is the typical thing, but everyone wants to get sorted by then.
It used to be kind of like Eurobike was a big showdown.
That's
but
it,
now
yeah.
I think less bike manufacturers are going there, and it's all kind of getting pulled. I think social media's kind of reshuffled the power structure a bit.
For sure.
You know, and where brands want to send their money. Because what do you think brands actually want? You know, is it just social media? Is it just results? Or is it kind of a big combination?
I think it's never going to be a simple one to answer that. And when you think about it, it's just whether it's a marketing group of people behind that brand, mm-hmm. or maybe a smaller brand that's just got like a director that's like, I want this.
Yeah, it's got a good hunch.
They're all just normal people, and maybe whether they're kind of that person that really results driven, mm-hmm. and they just want to see the number one. They want gold on their jersey sort of thing. There's a lot of those. More so from the background I've got with downhill racing. But with social media and Instagram and all that, it's grown hugely.
Yeah,
like
totally.
The visibility from that, just, you know, it shares their brand across the globe almost with a lot of riders now. So that's a huge value.
I think someone's doing some strimming maybe. Rob Warner and his strimmers out again, taking care of some hedgerows. So how would you describe InSync? Where do they, are they kind of, where are they based? I have to admit, I don't actually know too much about them.
Yeah, it's a real cool, different beginning. So Hero Cycles are, I think they're the biggest, I might be wrong here, but they are the biggest sole factory manufacturer of bicycles in the world. So it's a huge company from India.
Yeah.
Those guys are really cool. Actually, I did like a Himalaya mountain bike challenge the first.
Yeah, I saw that, actually.
Yeah, 8 days. 8 days
eight
of riding a cross-country bike.
Yeah.
But it was a once-in-a-lifetime trip, that. It was seriously cool, and I think in the future I'll probably do it again, but not this year. But
it's funny, I think that's, you know, you kind of hit upon maybe, I think a misconception would be an unfair word, but the way the bike industry works is a lot of brands that might be at the very forefront in terms of technology they're offering don't necessarily own the factory. They book a spot in the factory.
Yeah, yeah.
So it means that actually kind of, I think a lot of it is, you know, what is a brand? I think when mountain biking, it is largely different to, say, automotives. Mm. When you say, like, what is a car brand? Well, it's a big factory that makes cars. Well, in mountain biking, it's probably a collective of really intelligent people that are very creative and really understand bikes. But actually, in terms of assets, they probably don't have what people would consider from a manufacturer.
Yeah, I think that's the that's the typical way of going about a brand. You kind of think you have to start at the bottom and work your way up. Mm-hmm. But with InSync, they've got, so InSync is its separate brand, InSync Bikes, in the UK. They've got a few places in Manchester, mm-hmm. and they're just backed by Hero Cycles.
Oh, okay,
so
cool.
InSync Bikes are there. Originally, say a year back, they were their European marketed style sort of a brand, but now they're just going to be, I'm pretty sure that's just their like high technology, like their Formula One team, so to speak.
Yeah, Lexus is Toyota.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. Exactly that, yeah.
And so at the moment, let's talk about, I imagine there's always a nagging temptation when talking, you know, silly season is running amok, to take maybe bigger paychecks from less well-known brands, which can, if you're racing, really compromise your setup. How do you juggle? I mean, what kind of, I notice actually, because to kind of address the elephant in the room, InSync don't actually have a downhill frame yet.
Yeah, exactly.
You're running
a
different frame. So how is that approach? Is that something, you know, do they just say actually the priority is results? So we're gonna develop a prototype frame for you. In the meantime, you'd run what you choose. Is that kind of how it is?
It's a real fortunate position and probably quite twisted on anything else I've seen in the industry before in my short time. But they have basically, they've got the power to come into this sport, develop a frame after we've done some research. So, or after they've joined with us as a team and done some research. So they gave me the opportunity and a hell of an opportunity for the whole team to say, you know, what bike do you see as the bike to run at the moment? Because we'll get you on that. We'll run any componentry that you, anything brand wise.
Speaking of the bike.
Yeah, so we're in we've got a hell of an opportunity really to bring InSync into the Mountain Bike World Cup. Yep. The Downhill Mountain Bike World Cup is where they wish to be at the moment. And it's, we've just, they want to chuck themselves at the pinnacle of the sport.
Yep.
They said, what's the best brands? What's the best bike? What do you see? We take all that for year one and we're just going to learn from it. So it's insane. It's seriously cool position to be in. And we've learned an awful lot this year. We've done prototyping already. Mm-hmm. It didn't make sense to go on to something mid-season.
Yes, of course, yeah.
You know, with Veronica battling through to a third place at the end, it wouldn't have made sense to make any drastic changes, especially in the frame. So, mm-hmm. And they knew that. And my boss and the CEO of InSync Bikes is a ex-sports person for GB himself.
Oh, okay,
so he understands all about the marketing and everything that's involved. And I think that's crucial for any brand at the height.
Yeah, totally. I think if you were to go from that kind of manufacturing standpoint, like I know a lot of you know, wheels manufacturers buy everyone else's rims, and that, you know, you torture test them and you know where you stand then.
Yeah, for sure.
But if you kind of almost have, like, if you go the other way and kind of just like kind of opt into naivety, you know, just like blissful ignorance of like, oh, I'm sure ours are pretty good. Have you tested the other stuff? Oh, well, I'm sure ours are there or thereabouts.
Yeah.
You never really know. And, you know, I suppose it's, or maybe the data you might be accumulating is more anecdotal, just speaking about your own experiences. It doesn't make it any less valid. Mm. You know what I mean? It might not be Formula One where it's like, oh, well, actually, you know, the degradation on these tyres is 0.5, whatever. It's actually a case of, well, that felt good and that didn't. Mm-hmm. And that's really going to help shape a bike. And probably what would be really cool, I imagine, for you is, you know, how bikes are with, like, you know, the DNA and the ethos runs through frame to frame to frame.
Yeah.
You know, even in 5 years' time, like, you know, look at something like Giant with the Maestro linkage. They've been running that same linkage for 20 years. Mm-hmm. You know, something like that could be really cool looking back in 10 years' time and being like, actually, the input we gave in those
for sure.
first couple of years really changed things.
It's the dream, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is the dream. And, I think at the same point when you say, like, keeping to a certain, maybe not a linkage, but, like, keeping a certain thing, it's good to develop it. Mm. But with the start that we've got, is fully, everything's wide open. So, and we're fortunate enough to be able to, like, kind of try everything to make this next bike really the one, I think.
And how long, when do you have, like, kind of a rough idea when the new bike will be?
Again,
is it a case of when it's ready?
It's kind of a case of when it's ready, but we're just going to, it's off season now, mm-hmm. as of 2 weeks' time. It's going to be off season anyway. And I've got to survive here tomorrow first.
Yeah, I'll do that.
But, in the off season, we're going to be testing an awful lot and in a lot of different places. It's going to be almost as much work as the season, I think.
Yeah, and I can imagine. Yeah.
I'm mega, like, really excited to crack on. Mm-hmm. And I haven't done an insane amount of testing before, but I've tested with quite a few of the brands past times with Solid and Saracen and seen how things can develop. And along with some other people, we should be able to make something pretty awesome from the start. And then obviously that you never stop learning. So we just crack on from there.
Yeah, because one of the things, you know, the way that the setup of the team, you just kind of alluded to it there. You have Ronnie Vidman, who got third in the overall, which is a huge achievement. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a huge achievement for a factory team that's been going years and years and years, let alone for a relatively new sort of, you know, up and coming team.
For sure.
And you also have a junior rider, Chris Cummings.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's, I would like to see, you know, we talk a lot about sort of people, there's a conversation about, you know, what size a World Cup should be, how many riders, all this sort of stuff. But I think it'd be cool if, you know, if you had juniors, elite men, elite women, I think each team should have to satisfy two of those criteria.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But the fact that you're satisfying all three is, I think, it's pretty cool.
Well, that's what I wanted from the start, actually. Just to thinking about, I guess, kind of like the team itself is a brand. And now, although that's completely over to InSync and they're completely in line with what we're doing, I think to set yourself broad and have someone from each category is just a nice thing, really. Just shows, I think, anyone can kind of, if they've got the money, they can go for the best elites and kind of forget about the rest sort of thing.
Totally.
But this, like, every aspect and every category of the sport is looked at in maybe completely different ways. So from a marketing point of view, it makes an awful lot of sense. And I'm surprised other people don't see that so much, but it's not always the case. People like other brands or teams could be limited to what they do and how many people they have.
Yeah, true that.
It's a bit like I've had a team of 4 or 5 people in the past, and that's so big. Not necessarily hard to manage, but it's just too big to really concentrate.
Yeah, true.
In on the individuals.
And do you feel that as the season was ramping up, as the, you know, Ronnie's position in the overall was imagined very, very well, a source of a bit of stress and anxiety in some ways. Do you feel the whole team was kind of almost that was the result everyone was going to, especially snowshoe for, like, if Ronnie can do well, and she got her career best result there.
Yeah, for sure. And I'd like to, we were definitely concentrated on the matter. Or I think, I'd like to think that everyone else was, like Connor, our mechanic, and even Mark from our media guy, our filmer. Everyone kind of was a bit like, at snowshoe, it was a bit sort of don't say anything, do say something, and keep it normal rather than build the pressure up, because she puts a lot of pressure on her shoulders already, and she really wanted that, to the point she's talking about all sorts of things she would never even talk about and what to do in practice in the morning. It's like, at the end of the day, you just need to believe in yourself, because she's got the skills.
Oh, she's such a strong technical rider, right?
Yeah. And she's a real strong girl, as that happens. Like, at the bottom of snowshoe, she made the time back. She was 3 down at the first split and gained it all in the last bit. That was like a bit of a pedal and then muscling through some jumps. So
to feel that pressure, like, pressure is a horrible thing when you don't,
work with it.
Yeah. One of the things that I used to, like, when wrenching at races, I actually learned to enjoy the pressure, because that was like the high of satisfaction I would get when it all went wrong but it worked. And I imagine that she, after probably going into snowshoe nervous, all the practice runs being like, always thinking, you know, because it's like a stupid crash could take you out of it.
Yeah.
Especially when she's looking to climb the standings. But to overcome that must be hugely, and I imagine to take that into next, that satisfaction and confidence in the next season, which is really cool.
Yeah. I mean, for any rider, I think it's real important to just be happy. And
do you think the stress, but sometimes, of running your own team has ever infringed on that for you? Like, do you ever go into a race thinking like, oh man, I need to send emails. Oh, race of World Cup, emails.
Yes. I think the simple answer to that is yes, it has. And it is a tough job. It's not just a case of, oh, you've got to book accommodation and get the sign on number boards in the morning.
Yeah.
There's constant things, whether sponsors are happy or asking you to do, and you wouldn't even be able to pull up the stuff that just pops up. And the stuff that just pops up on, like, your qualifying morning, when it would just be quite nice to just crack on and, you know, go watch your GoPro, eat breakfast, go to the track, just think about doing that. And that's what a rider really needs, that atmosphere, without any distractions. Otherwise it just takes away. So yes, it does, but I've learned an awful lot of how to manage that myself. And yes, I might do some work throughout the week, but I'll kind of offload myself for those few days at a World Cup or whatever it may be.
And looking back, I'm sure you've got a different set of skills and experiences and understanding of not only how the industry works, but also how a more personal level things work in the World Cup circuit.
Yeah.
Now being a team, do you think, looking back to when you start, if you knew then what you knew now a couple of years ago, do you think there have any drastic changes, or was it all just actually we got here and it's all kind of fell into place sort of thing?
Well, I think, yeah, you do. I'm always learning. that's 100% of what takes anyone forward, I feel, and I believe in. So learning from the industry, and the this is an awesome industry. There's rarely, rarely any, I can't think of any that really are horrible people. Everyone's stoked. And I think the essence of just riding bikes takes that away. Everyone that seems to be, like, everyone that's brand owner, or they'll know how to ride a bike, or then they'll know what that gives you, the feeling of it. So it, whether it's out on the street, out with the family, or riding hardline, it's kind of the same buzz. And everyone's so nice. So I think if you can get on with people, which I feel I'm all right at, then they'll get on with you, and they'll, yeah, it's, this is, we've got to not forget that this is living the dream. Certainly my dream from when I was a kid. And if you believe in that, then you're just happy the whole time, then it's all good, isn't it?
Yeah, totally.
And we're just representing brands and having fun and riding our bikes.
Yeah.
Because going into, obviously, what really, you were saying earlier on, an exciting off-season ahead of you. You've got lots of testing. You know, is that, where do you see the team developing? What's, have you got any next goals? Is it the case of, you know, kind of pay back the trust that InSync have put into you and help to develop a really cool bike and then tackle racing next year? I guess that's
pretty much it. Pretty much. Definitely. Like I said, I'm really looking forward to testing and getting through and really coming into next year with a clear sort of goal for myself and the team. And it's really just getting everything into a line.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty cool, man. Thank you very much. Best of luck.
Thank you. Cheers.
Banging.
Nice one.
Cheers,
thanks,
dude.
Henry.
So thanks for watching, guys. I hope when you are looking to get sponsored or maybe even set up a World Cup downhill team, you're a bit better informed. Now, if you want to stick with the racing, Eddie Masters and I did a really cool track walk down that monstrous downhill track right there, talking about how tech affects it. And if you want to see the winning Red Bull Rampage bike, click down there. Cheers, guys. Don't forget to like and subscribe.
Thanks a lot.